Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. My guest today is Mickey Jacobs. She is a psychic medium, a spiritual teacher, and a channeler. And her background is one that she grew up in a conservative and religious Jewish home. She served in the Israeli army for 3 years. And she was also a US businesswoman and ran a company for 18 years. Now, that's quite a background there, Mickey. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I greatly appreciate you inviting me. Thank you.
Well, now, after that introduction, what I would like to know is, when did your psychic abilities start to commence?
It's actually kind of started later in life. I was probably in my early 30s. Which I like to kind of say that in my lectures and people that come across my work, because usually you hear of psychic mediums that kind of know of their abilities when they are very young, like they see spirits around their cribs and stuff, and I didn't. I was in the army, I mean, as far from spirituality as you can imagine. My father is quite an Orthodox Jewish man, and I was kind of different. And I was in the business world for 18 years, had a glass company here in Long Beach, Southern California. And early 30s, I had just urge, that's the best I can describe it, Mike, as to follow up a little bit more deeper spirituality. The religion didn't quite give me the answers. And all of a sudden, concepts of my Jewish religion did not make sense. And I started to study and meditate, and soon enough I was able to automatic writing, channeling from the Archangel Michael at the beginning in specifically, and then my spirit guide introduced himself to me later on, and then guardian angel, and it just grew and grew, and obviously the more I practiced, the more I sharpened my gift, and now we just, you know, I'm just doing stuff all over the world, and crucially important for me to kind of present what we are going through as a human being from a perspective of our soul, which is of course completely different than the personality or the ego in the mind. So I'm quite a busy bee.
Absolutely, yes. You must have been almost overwhelmed when it all started, bearing in mind how it developed, as you said, into automatic writing, and then your guides appeared. And of course, you have contact with quite a few different type of spiritual people, don't you? You have contact with the archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, spirit guides. And so it goes on.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I kind of gave it a name, and it's kind of catching up. I call it our team. Because we, each one of us, when we incarnate into planet Earth, we have that group of spirit, which is such a lovely concept of spirit guides, guardian angel and archangels. And we kind of have our own private team. Each one of them help us in different ways. They kind of specialize on different ways. And really, they help us to accomplish the journey once we are on Earth. And as for the confusement at the beginning, yes, I mean, for quite some time, I was perhaps schizophrenic. You know,
absolutely,
kind of
yes.
Didn't quite know who's talking to me. So it took quite a hard work and dedication and persistence to the process. But my story, if you will, is important because people think that you have to be born with it or know that you're a medium from a young age. And my story clearly proves that we all have it. It's just what do we want to do with it?
Yes, I suppose in your case, and probably mine, you were meant to develop it, whereas perhaps other people, it isn't really a question that comes into their reckoning. Perhaps they have a different path in life. Now,
yes. Yes, absolutely. A lot of people, it's not, I know my husband Clayton is not interested in that, and he's quite lovely and spiritual. I mean, it has its own price, of course. It's a draining work that work with a lot of grieving people. So yeah. It's certainly you got to be prepared, and I suspect prepared from other lifetimes as well.
Yeah. Now, I notice you also mentioned that you obviously have contact with deceased loved ones. So do you actually use that part of your abilities to help people? I mean, where does that come in?
I do. I have quite a unique type of reading where some of the reading I connect people to their team. So that would consider my psychic side of the readings, and other energies come into the reading, obviously in every reading, if it's deceased as well as alive energies. So my type of work is kind of give the person quite a nice view of their life. So I'm able to help in a lot of different levels, as well as people that lost loved ones. So I feel quite blessed with my work, Mike.
Yeah. So which is the main area of work you follow? For example, as you do channeling, I wonder whether that is something you do regularly?
It is. It's come quite natural to me. And again, I believe it's because I worked on that channel, if you will, that connect us to the spirit world. And it's nice and clear. I mean, for 15 years, I continue to meditate every morning. I continue to feed it with energy. I have names to all my team. I contact with them daily and throughout the day. So I energize the relationship, which is why I tell people to do. Of course, they're always there. But the more time and effort you put into it, the more natural it is for me to receive messages, my own life, hundreds of people, as well as the planet Earth, which is quite important right now for us.
Right. So, do you actually see any of your spirit contacts?
I do. Depends how strong the spirits are. I tend to come to a conclusion that if someone crossed recently, then I can see their orbs. Of course, I'm quite good at clairaudience, so I can hear them quite clearly. I am able to see the energy of the archangels, and I recognize them by the color. They each have their own color, which kind of tell me who they are. Guardian angels are easy to see. And spirit guides, they're not kind of one thing fit all. Our spirit guides, some of them are more evolved than others. So it depends as to how powerful the spirit and how open I am. Obviously, as human being, we kind of have a wave in our energies. So some days are more open than others. But my strength is hear them, and I can hear them quite clearly. So that's kind of fun, Mike.
Yes. Now, from what I read about your work, would I be correct in assuming that you perhaps have something a bit extra to do with Archangel Gabriel?
Yes, Archangel Gabriel is the messenger, if you will. I kind of tend to not kind of give label or phrases, but he's the one that helped me if I'm kind of stuck sometimes in a reading and don't quite understand the channeling. He's the archangel that helps people connect to their departed loved ones. And he's also, among other, the archangel is of strength. His color is red, and he stands to the left of us human beings. And I do channel a lot of messages for him right now as to where we are going as a human species. I also channel, I mean, I live here in the U.S., so it's kind of fascinating to me as to the perspective of the spirit world about the election, for example, that's going on in the U.S. at the moment. So it's kind of fascinating.
Are you going to say that you have some idea as to whether Obama would be re-elected?
Yes. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, yes, by all means. I'm sure our listeners would, yes.
Well, You know, first of all, I don't know if you experienced that, Mike, if you are kind of a connector. I believe that the more spiritual you become in the line of work that we do, the more distance you kind of hold from the day-to-day event. Of course, I am from Israel, so of course I educate myself as what's going on with my country, with Iran. But yes. I kind of came to a conclusion, Mike, that over the years as I become more and more connected to the spirit world, if you will, I am unable to kind of identify with a certain party, if you will, with certain politics. I don't get as upset as I used to. And the reason for that is precisely because I get the messages as to the overall, you know, perspective as to what's going on. Obama 4 years ago was obviously, or maybe not obviously, but spiritually speaking, he was of course meant to be chosen because of his color. It was precisely so us human beings perhaps be a little bit less judgmental of one another when it's come to color. He was actually almost free of ego back then. I mean, he really wanted to unite. Unfortunately, Obama, over the 4 years, again, channeled from the spirit world, really, is that his ego come in. I ask specifically the Archangel Gabriel, why is his ego came in? And it has to do with money, and it has to do with just kind of the external power, if you will. However, the Democrat Party, meaning his party, the concept of them, the spirit world, like, for example, marriage between gay people. To be a homosexual is something that you come with it to the journey that you incarnate into. This is not something that you can get rid of it or choose if to have it or not. So, of course, that they promote love and marriage between two souls that chose to experience life through the same sex, as well as abortion. Abortion, Mike, has the consent or the agreement of the soul. They actually call abortion or miscarriage from the perspective of the baby soul, although it's not a baby, that they back off. So those kind of the Democratic Party is kind of more spiritual, of course, if you look at it from the perspective of spirituality and not perspective of, again, the mind or the personality. But as to who lead it, Romney at the moment, like Obama used to 4 years ago, is a little bit of a less ego. So I predict that Obama, I think, will be chosen. The reason I say I think is because the spirit world, as you probably know, is bound by universal law of free will. And the problem right now on planet Earth that us human beings are being led by our ego. So it might be very well that ego will attract ego, and therefore we're just going to choose the wrong candidate. But that's basically the overall kind of, in a nutshell, the perspective of the archangels.
Yes, what I read that rather takes my notice is that Obama is the one chosen by spirit to actually lead the world into a situation of peace. And the indications are that he will be re-elected. So that being the case, I think we should all be very pleased if that happens.
Yes, he will be reached. Yeah, that is true. I mean, but that's what I was trying to say, that it's hard for me when I look at the world as well as my own life, obviously my loved one and people every day. When I look at the perspective of the spirit world, it's hard for me to, I'm not quite as connected to the results rather than what's supposed to happen. And he does it within his journey, certainly, to try and lead that all spiritual aspect. So, you know, just we'll have to see. But that really is my as to what it is that I channel.
Yeah. Now, when you do channel messages that are for, say, general distribution, in other words, they're not purely of a personal nature for you, do these go onto your website, or do you send them out? I mean, do people have access to them?
I have a YouTube channel where I kind of talk in a little bit more general. For example, my last YouTube video, which I do it weekly, was about actually spirituality versus religion, which is so important to me, Mike, because the misleading of the religion groups is kind of sad to me, really, as to what an unbelievable opposite than what I do channel from spirits. So yeah. I do have that in the YouTube, and of course I present a lot of lectures and private group reading where I try to spread spirituality everywhere I can. I go on radio shows such as yourself. So I kind of take my mission, if you will. I'm quite honored to do that, and it's extremely important to me.
Right. Now, you said your mission is twofold. Perhaps you would like to tell our listeners exactly what that is.
Yes. Again, it's because I come from such a religion background, and I know that, the sometimes ridiculous belief that religion have, I mean, it's a separator now on our planet. One claim that that's their own God, and of course other religious team, they're going to see seven virgins when they cross over after they blow a few kids and women. So yes. That's such a great passion for me. But the interesting about it, Mike, is that I was there. I mean, I was the one that was fighting, you know, in the army for 3 years. I was a shooting instructor. Yeah. So I have that both, opinions or both aspect as to where I used to be before, where I want my country to go to war and I wanted them to, you know, and now I have a completely different mindset. Of course, the spirit world promote peace. The Archangel Michael actually always tell me, teach people you cannot get peace with war. So that is my main thing, is to talk about specifically what is going on between country, between us human being. You know, readings reflect a lot as to the dynamic that us human being having with one another. And according to the Archangel, we're going to have another wake up like we did in 9/11, the big 9/11, the 2001, in order to shake us up again. So we just wake up, as they put it.
Well, that may well be the case. So your mission is, obviously, as a spiritual teacher, is to, I suppose, to some extent, to help people to help themselves.
To help what?
To help themselves.
To try and open the mind view that is kind of rise above the personality, the kind of close-minded view of our mind. I mean, that's I call it spread spirituality. I mean, I know it's kind of a broad thing. And my other mission, as I said at the beginning of the show, is that if I taught myself, I know it's probably you're supposed to be ready and you want to do my work, but we all, I mean, have that connection within us, so we can sharpen our intuition and get so much more support and guidance from our team, from such a wise beings.
Yes, I guess the problem for most people is that if they aren't aware of the team, in other words, they don't know even how to contact them, it's a difficult concept to accept. I mean, what would you advise people that are trying to get a feel of the team that's around them?
And you want to give a try to meditation, which again, a lot of people get scared from that word, which why it is I don't use it that much. And I more use the phrase quiet the mind. When you quiet the mind, yes. And today, nowadays, there's so many different techniques of quieting the mind. And you see what you feel, the immense love, when that mind of ours, human being, that is finally quiet and that channel is open. I mean, what a beautiful feeling. It's undeniable, Mike, because I have people come to me and they're born again Christian or very religious, and I tell them, just try, do it for a while, kind of try to connect and see what it is that you feel and kind of put your time in it. So So the first and foremost is it is just inevitable that you will feel that immense connection. I mean, there is a certainly difference between Mickey before I meditate and once I go out there in nature and I connect. And not only now, I talk even in the beginning before I call myself a medium, if you will. I mean, this is just, it's in us. See, that spark, the source spark is in us. So we just have to kind of rediscover it, which what it is that we're doing here, at least my belief is.
I suppose as long as we believe it's possible, then it will happen.
You need to believe in possible and, of course, put the work on it. You need to, you, meaning a human being, need to go outside of box of our culture belief, what we grew up to believe. You need to rise above that nasty mind or the ego, the personality, if you will. And once you do, once you rise above it, you give room or open a room for that beautiful nature of our multidimensional being that we are. And that's when magic happened, Mike. So, but you want it, and you want to kind of be open for it, like you said. Listen, if I was still within my cultural belief, the way I grew up, I mean, I grew up to a God that I was terrified of, Mike. I mean, I grew up knowing that if I don't fast one day a year, if I eat milk and cheese, if I'm not doing certain holidays in a certain way that my parents was doing it, then God would punish me and my loved one. That is absurd, of course. I also grew up to believe that God is a man with a beard and a cane, which, of course, now it's which why I call it the source, the beautiful energy that is in all of us and everything. So you need to try and open your mind and disconnect yourself from the culture and the belief that you perhaps grew up with and kind of give a possibility to spirituality.
Yes, indeed. Very, very good advice. Now, you're obviously, with your understanding, you are into reincarnation. And I notice you obviously have something to say to help people to be able to recognize their reincarnated loved ones from the past. Would you like to just talk a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. First of all, I would like to kind of connect it to the, you can imagine how many people come to me and they say, oh my God, Mickey, where's my soulmate?
Yes.
So it's I like to kind of include that in my teaching, that soulmate, it doesn't what human being gave it from some sort of a romantic novel. A man usually come on a white horse with a rose. A soulmate simply mean that you have a contract with another soul to experience a journey on planet Earth. So therefore, of course, there is no one soulmate. A soulmate would be someone that you come as a form of an intimate lover, as a parent, as a sibling. So that's first and foremost very important, because people, again, see, they kind of fixate on what it is, soulmate. Where is he? Why is he not? So soulmate also don't have to be always, everything is just nice and easy. Actually, when we have a soulmate relationship, from the perspective of the soul, the more challenging it is, the more growth we accumulate to our soul as to why is it here. So you recognize it. I tell people, observe your relationship, your intimate relationship, let's say, because I call it that there's two ways as to how you can attract relationship. I call it an ego relationship. Listen, we know ourselves the most. We know our weaknesses. At the end of the day, we know what it is we need to fix within ourselves. We know our strength. We just know. So if you know you're in a relationship because of an ego reason, that the other person have money, external thing, look, any other things that is just, you know within yourself, then it's obviously not something that the soul is interested in. A soul would attract another soul for the purpose of growing. This is precisely why a human soul incarnate into planet Earth in order to learn from an interpersonal relationship, because it's really reflect to you what it is you should, you know, fix for yourself. So you want to also keep in mind that spirituality works like a mirror. You project what you get. There is obviously not one God that gives someone a great mate and the other doesn't. So I tell people, build yourself a wonderful life. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be the person that you need, you know you need to be. Like myself, I always try to practice what I teach, Mike. Yes. I try to practice what it is I learn. And the right energy of the right soulmate would come towards you. Also, real quick, it's just so you know how it's work, the higher self, which is the percentage of the energy of the soul within the body, is in a constant contact with the rest of the soul energy in the spirit world. So therefore, the soul, our soul in the spirit world, navigate towards us opportunity with right people that help it grow. So again, get what you project, build yourself what it is that you want to get.
Very interesting. But I suppose in some people's life plan, they aren't in fact due always to meet their soulmate. Is that what you find?
Absolutely. You actually have three opportunities to meet your soulmate. I know it sounds weird, but you do. As for my own story, which is kind of fun, so I'll tell it real quick. I mean, for many years I was single. I was single for about maybe 4 years. And I remember, Mike, I'm thinking, what is going on? I mean, did God forget me? That was, of course, before I was a psychic and knew the whole thing. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And I just, and I meant to be single, because if I would have met Clayton back then, that wouldn't work. I meant to be single. I learned, I sharpened my gift, and I learned the concept, which what I tell people, go out. You cannot sit home and watch television and expect your soulmate to knock on your door. Our team is quite magical, but they're not that magical. So I got the concept, went out. I saw him in the dog park, which, funny enough, we rescue animals now, Clayton and I. So that was kind of a nice creative way for our soul to meet. But the first week, I missed him because he was saying, I actually saw you and you were on a date. And then the week after, we kind of met each other. Of course, that was 15 years ago. So, yes, we can indeed miss our soulmate. Listen, nothing in guarantee on planet Earth. When we arrive here, it's a new ball of game. And everything the soul pre-designed for itself, if the ego takes over, then contracts expired, if you will.
Yes. So when you do meet your soulmate, then what you're saying is you wouldn't really have any doubts, because your relationship would be so intimate and powerful, I suppose.
You absolutely will not have any doubt. And that's what I mean about the concept that we know ourselves best. I mean, if we look at our past, you know, relationship that you clearly know that you go because whatever reason, you didn't want to be alone. You thought the other person was cute or good in bed. I don't know. But you know within yourself. And when I met Clayton 2 weeks later, I just knew that, Mike. I even remember him. I remember his hands. I remember, because, of course, everything is chosen by the soul, pre-design, meaning before coming in here. And I just knew that. So, yes, you just have to be aware, which is another reason why you want to discipline the mind. You want to grow spiritually, so you will recognize signs and things and opportunities. So it's all connected, really.
Yes, but did he recognize you?
Less. A little bit less. I mean, we kind of a little bit more sharp than you guys when it's come to that, Mike.
Oh,
that's funny.
Oh, well, then, that's fair enough. Now, you have thoughts about what you call past life healing. I think you refer to that in the sense that we can bring problems with us from one life to another, and somewhere we want to put a stop to it. Is that how I read it correctly?
That is correct, Mike. Actually, actually all our weaknesses, major weaknesses, is baggages that we bring for past life. The way it goes is that when we cross over, we shed, obviously, the ego and the soul gets free from the body, and we take with us to the DNA of the soul the good things, what it is that we learn, anything of value that the soul added to itself through that certain personality. So the bad thing, if you will, of course there's no good and bad, because the bad thing helps us grow, then that is written in the next incarnation, which we plan alongside our spirit guide. So therefore, you want to observe yourself and your weaknesses. If you see that you have a passion for jealousy, let's just say, for example, then you absolutely, with no any doubt, is something that you bring before. So that is specifically what you want to bring to the surface. That is specifically what you want to work on. And pay attention, let's say if we stick to the example of jealousy, that is what your soul going to choose for you in your soulmate. Someone that will activate it in order for the weakness to surface up so you can work on it. So watch over your weaknesses, watch over your relationship, not just intimate, all your relationship, your growing up, your upbringing. I know that specifically my parents, looking back now that of course I channel all that, but they brought to the surface all those weaknesses that helped me be stronger, or help my soul, if you will, grow of things that failed from last lives. So that is the spiritual explanation as to why it's so important to observe our weaknesses and work on them.
Now, if as many people think that at the end of this year we will have a high point, which is generally called ascension, if that is the case, do you feel that people have come into these lives with their sort of final attempts to get rid of their baggage?
Yes. Yes, yes, I do, Mike. Yes, I do. I mean, there's a lot of baggages, which why you see the world the way it is. And the problem is that the baggages are not being resolved, but add new baggages, which of course add to the karma, meaning the soul going to have to balance its energy, which what karma is. So baggages is just being on top of baggages, which is again, bring my point for what I mentioned a few minutes earlier, as to why I want people to understand, what is your soul doing here? You're not here drifting around. I mean, there is a purpose to your life. It's all about the soul. Our soul, S-O-L-E, purpose, is to grow. Other than that, our soul really dislikes that harsh planet. I mean, it's being like a prison in that body of ours, you know. So and use it. Use that planet Earth to grow and get rid of your baggages.
Yes, indeed. Now, a little while ago you mentioned about the Earth. What do you think our connection is with Mother Earth?
Oh, you know, Mike, it's such a great passion of mine. I mean, Clayton and I rescue horses from factories in Canada, and I cannot express my deep, absolute deep love to animal and all creatures. I mean, I just gonna fight 10 minutes with a spider to leave the shower. So, yeah, you know, the problem is we just, this is just a temporary place for us. And look at human beings, how they treat Mother Earth. Look how they treat animals. And I'm talking, trying to be neutral, because I know I'm a little bit too much pro-animals and pro-any life form. I mean, they have their place. But, you know, Mother Earth is retaliating and will retaliate with some nasty natural disaster, which is precise. I mean, natural disaster have, of course, other reasons sometimes to balance the population. But Mother Earth is upset. I mean, we cannot go on thinking we own this planet when, in fact, we're just coming here for a little bit to borrow it. We should love. I mean, I cannot tell you how passionate I am towards nature and Mother Earth. And I tell people, I mean, the Earth, Mother Earth, is so healing. Take your shoes and socks and just, you know, see feet on the ground and you would feel yourself balance. I mean, what a beautiful way to heal yourself. But people are quite far from it, unfortunately. So we're trying to do what we can a step at a time. But there is great amount of sorrow to nature, and she will retaliate specifically in 2013 more and more.
Mm. So tell me what you know about nature spirits.
Nature spirits belong to the nature kingdom. Of course, in the nature kingdom, there is the nature angels, which they are the highest vibration, if you will. We can compare the nature angels to the archangels. Archangels are higher in awareness than the guardian angels, which why the archangels are able to split their energy and be with a lot of people time at the same time, as opposed to guardian angels, that Mike has his own guardian angel, Mickey has her own guardian angel, Clayton has her own guardian. So nature angels are kind of the highest vibration in the nature kingdom. Then you have the nature spirits, which those are fairies, other beings, which I'm quite blessed to be able to see sometimes in my morning meditation. And then there is the nature people, which are the closer in vibration to us on planet Earth. They live inside the houses, the trees, and they're quite fun, quite magical. And I always tell people, if you did not like nature or you did not respect animals, then having the nature kingdom by your side is a good reason for you to start, because the nature spirits are quite magical, Mike. They help us with money, with job. They help us to recognize opportunities. So the more you love Mother Earth, the more you respect all creatures, all beings, all animals, you have more nature beings around you. Clayton and I happen to have five nature spirits living here. I mean, I don't know how much more weird you want me to get.
Right. Now, are nature spirits the ones that when you lose something, you suddenly find it in the place where you've already looked, and it was when it wasn't there?
Absolutely, Mike, which why I call them magical.
Yes.
The fairies are a little bit grumpy.
Yes.
A little bit grumpy, but again, love nature. So I cannot tell you over the years, Mike, how much they help me in my work. They do. They like us. If you find you look for keys or remote, they're kind of like children, like the nature spirit. What a beloved, beautiful spirit beings they really are.
What a pity that more people can't see them. I mean, I can't myself, I must admit, but I certainly believe in them.
You can see them, Mike. That's according to your spirit guide. Apparently what's happened is that your brain, your mind, going to its memory bank and thinking it's looking at a hummingbird or a butterfly, where in fact is a fairy.
All right.
Yeah, and just so you know, Mike, your archangel this life is Michael.
Yes.
So let me ask you something, Mike, real quick. You know, over your life, were you a little bit a creature of habit?
I guess so, because I'd like to think I'm organized, and that usually means you have certain, as you might call, habits, yes?
Okay, because the Archangel Michael, they stand by your right side, and his color is blue. He's trying to make you more flexible, if you will. Kind of make you more flexible, spontanic.
Yes, I understand.
I'm sorry, Mike. So it's like over the years, he's trying to make you more spontanic. You kind of a little bit by the rules.
Could be, yes. It's very difficult to judge yourself, isn't it, when somebody asks you?
I know. I'm sorry. Once they talk to me, I cannot ignore them, so I had to tell you that, Mike.
Well, that's all right. That's fine. It's very nice to know what particular message they want to get over to you.
Oh,
that's very nice. Now,
yeah.
Just coming back to this end-of-the-year scenario with as I said, what I think most people are now referring to as an ascension opportunity. But what is your own view of that?
Of what? Say again, Mike, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people that talk of an event at the end of this year,
yes,
on the 21st of December,
yes,
that will be an upliftment in energy that will be obviously very beneficial to people.
Yes.
I just wondered what your own idea was of what was going to happen.
Yeah, I actually got a terror attack in the water.
Yeah.
So it would be something that has to do with the water. I'm not sure it's specifically to that date, but like I said, you know, Mike, that September 11, 2001, that was a great opportunity for the human race to raise our vibration, which worked for a little bit, unfortunately. If you can recall looking at those said programs, how everyone helped each other getting up, like Muslims and Jews, and for a while there, a few months or whatever it was, the world, planet Earth, appeared to be united, and then obviously we went back to our own ways, our own egos. So another big event is coming, either the end of 2012 or not that far, the beginning of 2013, and it would come as a form of a shake-up. So I know it's a difficult concept. I don't know if it's for you to kind of accept, as well as for your listeners. But I know in my lectures, when I tell people September 11 meant for us to raise our vibration, I understand that it's a difficult concept to accept since 3,000 souls vanished. But that is indeed what's happened, and that's coming up again. Another opportunity, if you will.
Yeah, I can certainly believe what you said about what happened on September the 11th. I mean, any event of that nature is a real awakening for people, and it obviously seeks a response from them, doesn't it? And the only way you can, I think, you can handle that type of energy is to send out light to transmute it.
Yes, of course. Of course, it's all about sending light. Not about globe, about your immediate place, your loved one. It's all about spreading the light. That's why it's called enlightenment and spirituality. That's what we're doing here. But
yeah,
we don't, and it's just very unfortunate. You know, I always tell Clayton on September 11 that I feel like responsibility to watch the program, to not forget, to not change the channel. I mean, what an amazing tragedy. And those souls, I mean, really sacrificed themselves in order,
yes,
for the human race to climb up, but it just appeared that it's been forgotten.
Yes, of course, that concept is for most people very difficult to understand, that people will
absolutely
actually sacrifice their life for the benefit of others.
Absolutely. That's what I said. I always have to be kind of careful as to the intensity and as to who I'm talking to, because I understand, listen, we come here and we grow in our own pace, and spirituality is not something that you shove in someone's throat. I mean, everything has to be nice and when you're ready. So yes, I absolutely understand that people, a lot of people, that's not their cup of tea, that's not they believe, and they look at me as something that they cannot comprehend. Nonetheless, it is the spiritual truth.
Yes. Now, you said that you've been shown hell, and you can describe it. I think our listeners, including me, of course, will be very, very interested to know what your experience was and how you view it.
Not nice and unpleasant, but not what most people think. There is no devil with horns, and there is no fire. So what we say about hell is the lowest level of vibration of the spirit world, which is closer to planet Earth. The way it's work, Mike, is there a heaven on hell? Yes, as long as you don't look at it the way religion call it, which I just described, the heaven have angels with wings and the hell have fires. But again, it's we create what level we're going to be merge into, if you will. So
yes,
we create that. If you take someone else's life on planet Earth, which is, of course, the ultimate wrongdoing to another human being to cut their journey short, then yes. you would enter in the lowest level, which we call hell. The reason I experienced that, because I actually channel a serial rapist, if you will. So mm-hmm. I asked to be shown where it is, and it's quite nasty. I was very ill. I felt nauseous. I needed to throw up. So that when the channeling come, that is not the hell that we think. But nonetheless, we should value that information and know that there is no God that wait when we cross over and send Mike to hell and Mickey maybe to some place that's called hell, heaven. Of course not. But it starts with what we're doing here, which, again, go back to my first point, is to build yourself a decent, kind, compassionate life. And then you don't have to worry as to where you cross over. But in general, the rule of thumb is that you cross over to the exact same level of awareness that you build yourself here. That's what it is. Also, souls that continue to fail on planet Earth, let's say they come to planet Earth, kill, go to the spirit world, get healed, incarnation, kill again, meaning the ego is unable to break that habit of harming others, then there are new set of rules in that vibration level, if you will, hell, I don't like to call it that way, that they don't let those souls get reincarnated. So it's quite a lot of fascinating information as to what it is that I gather over that whole thing about hell and heaven. Heaven, yes, those are the high vibration where the angels are. I mean, that is what it is. So again, depends what it is that you create here. That is precisely what level you're going to be crossing over to. A lot of people tell me, well, I don't care, Mickey. Well, you should care. You should care. You should care what you build, what life you build here, so when you cross over, the transition would be easy, where you are, I mean, that's so you should care. So that's really my answer when people say, I don't care what's going to happen, when I die, I die. Well, that's not spiritual take to begin with.
Some of them get quite a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I had a friend who said that one of her guides took her down into those lower levels so that she could see what they were like. But she said to me it was so dark she could hardly see anything at all. Is that how you found it?
I found it more physically ill, but I have a lot of medium colleagues, not a lot, I have four medium colleagues that actually could not see. So I suppose it's to how you take it, because I actually felt very ill and I was asked to be shown. I was very guarded and I got protected, but I'm not going to do that anymore. So now if I channel any entities that are from that level, my own team don't allow them into my office. So that's right. Really what it is. I mean, I got enough, Mike. Yes. I got it. I got enough.
You only need to see it once.
I only need to see it once. I'd rather stay up there.
Now, you had a book coming out this month. Has it come out or is it still coming along?
Well, as you can hear by my English, Mike, that was not an easy task.
No, right.
I mean, really, it's one thing to talk with an accent and to have English as your second language, but it's another to try and convert it to word. I mean, it was much, much more difficult task. But the book is almost finished, would be certainly finished by December. And basically what I did is I took kind of a main topic, main subject, such as religious, such as homosexuality, which is a big, big subject by itself, to try and teach people how to look at that from the perspective of the soul, and I just kind of put it on the book.
So is it going to be called Soul Secrets?
Yes. It's also, it's the Spirit World Handbook for the Living.
Right. Okay. So, well, that will be interesting when it comes out. And you've also, I believe, got CDs and such. I mean, are they already available?
Yes, they're available. Everything is in my website, mickeyjacobs.com. Those two CDs, the title We Are Never Alone, one of them describe our team specifically. specifically what it is their purpose, because as I mentioned earlier, the spirit guides have certain purpose than the guardian angel and archangels. And the other one is a meditation that I found to be the most effective, which how it is I sharpen my gift. So basically, I simply put them on CD, so they're certainly available on my website, yes.
Right. So are you still currently on tour? You said you were on We Are Never Alone tour.
Yes, I have another cruise coming up to the Caribbean. I'm going to my native country in Israel in December. So a lot of fun things coming up, yes. So that's I have to make sure my team practice their Hebrew, but then we'll be off to Israel.
Right. Now, you seem to have touched upon quite a few things that you're involved in. We haven't quite come to the end of the program yet, but is there anything I haven't raised with you that you would like to mention?
Actually, I'm quite... You're quite truly a delightful, delightful energy, and you kind of touch the main things. Of course, I'm so passionate about my work that I can talk from now until 2 weeks from now, but it's just the way I am. Sometimes I just, you know, we just go on and on.
Yes,
but
yes.
I greatly appreciate that you touch important things that I'm really hoping would open the listeners' kind of perspective on spirituality a bit. So I greatly appreciate it, Mike.
Well, most of my listeners are quite spiritually well informed, so I can assure you that you would have a very interested audience.
Oh.
They would be able to understand, I think, and accept what you've been saying.
Oh.
Now, you might as well take this opportunity to tell us what your website address is.
Okay. It's Mickey Jacobs, and it's actually spelled MikiJacobs.com, and I have lots of interviews and archives from when I used to host my own radio show. Of course, the YouTube channel is, I found it quite helpful for people around the world. And I always have any, lectures or upcoming, events. So the best is also to, subscribe to the website. So then Clayton send all kind of updates and everything. But basically everything is on the website.
So are you actually on tour in the States at the moment then?
Yes, I do a lot of private group reading. That's kind of seemed to be very popular at the moment. It's appear, Mike, that like people want to bring their own 20, 30 people or family and friend, and kind of
yes.
They feel more comfortable to ask more questions as opposed to a bigger setting. But I'm off to Santa Barbara in a month as well. So, yeah, it's quite a mixture. But I found that lately people are kind of more tend to stay within their own group of family and friends. I don't know why is that, but that's quite a pleasure and a delight to me to have group reading. So that's in the website as well, if anyone interested in that, of course.
Fine, okay. I'm just quickly looking at my notes here to see if there's anything else that I've overlooked that I wanted to ask about.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
What would be your immediate advice to people who would say to you, what can I do to uplift myself? I mean, what would you advise them to do? How to approach it?
Sure. Meditation is the core of any spiritual growth. Without meditation, again, remember what we spoke before, meditation,
yes.
Meaning quiet the mind. Anyway, I mean, a lot of people say, Mickey, close the eyes, open the eyes, lay down, sit down. I mean, just see what works for you. I mean, I found it, Mike, at the beginning of my career work, if you will, that for the first 2 years, I started with guided meditation because it's a bit to kind of force your mind to focus on the voice of the instructor, if you will. And then as kind of my ability got sharper and I was able to kind of focus and quiet the mind, I went into music. That's a great lift up. There's all kind of kundalini and there's so many different ways. So what I would tell people, try. Just make sure that you with you, Mickey with Mickey. We come here alone and we live alone. You want to find time for yourself to reflect within, like we said before, your weaknesses, what it is you can improve in yourself, your immediate family, your planet Earth, nature. That need meditation. That need persistency, consistency, and they would carry the rest. Once you open the channel, doors would open up. I mean, that would take its own force. But you need to do the first step.
Yes. I guess what some people might find difficult is when they are meditating, perhaps more or less for the first time, they won't be too sure if what they think they're getting in their head is really coming from spirit rather than their own mind.
Of course, which why I was saying how long I really thought something is not right. I mean, I just, of course. And a lot of people, I mean, a common question is, Mickey, how do you know who's talking to you? Because you know, because spirits talk only about love, positive, promote kindness, only. That is what readings are. People come here and the immense love that their team have for their mic. I mean, I cannot even tell you it's really hard to, I mean, those are our eternal teachers and friends and loved ones in spirit. The ego is obnoxious. You would be able to recognize it immediately. The ego is destructive. It's negative. It's thinking, what's for dinner? So all I'm saying is that ignore it. Continue the process. Trust the process of meditation, if you will, or quiet the mind, and don't stop. If I did it, everyone can do it. I mean, I didn't come up. I mean, look how far I came. And yes, that is what I tell people. Just be persistent.
Right. So,
or consistent, I should say. Ooh, nice English,
yeah,
Mike.
Both. Yeah, persistent and consistent.
Persistent, that's right.
Yes. So really, I think what you're saying is the ego is our lower self that is rather perhaps selfish and does the things that we used to do, whereas when we meditate, we're trying to contact our higher self. Would that be about right?
Absolutely. You try to clear up the way I see it, Mike, it's look like a tube, a channel that kind of come from the crown chakra, the top of the head, and connect to all that is, to the spirit world, to the soul. So the more you meditate, the more clear it is. If you have ego, it look to me as a clairvoyant medium, cloudy, gray, as opposed to clear and bright. That's all you do. It's just the way it is. It's very simple. Spirituality of great simplicity to it. It's not rocket science. You just have to clear up that tube, the channel. You clear it up by shutting off the mind. The more you practice to shut off the mind or observe it, observe your internal dialogue all the time, then the more that channel gonna be open. Then they'll enter. They will enter. Things would start falling to places into you. I mean, you know, that's what it is. And then that's when you start to trust it, and that's when it starts growing. It's not overnight. The ego wants you to believe that he wanted yesterday instead of today. That's just impatience of the mind. It takes time, but it will happen. It just need work. That's why we are here. We are here to work. If we come here and we know everything that the soul knows, there's life after that, we don't need to work, where is the lessons? We come here and we have spiritual amnesia, as I like to call it, and we're clueless when we're born. We don't remember anything. We don't remember. This is not our home, really. We just don't remember, and then we're supposed to regain the memory. Once we regain the memory, like I did, it's magic. Your life is heaven on earth.
Lovely. That's a very good way to, I think, close the program, and I'll have to thank you very much, Mickey, for coming on. Your knowledge is really very extensive and very superb. It was very enjoyable.
Oh, it was quite lovely, and I greatly appreciate it, Mike, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Take care.
And, all the best on the rest of your tour and also when your book's released.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it, and be well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right, friends. I invariably always say after my programs that that was another very interesting and very good interview. Next week, I've got Joanna Johnston, who is a life coach, spiritual teacher, and she does a lot of spiritual work on sovereignty. So, again, that's someone else who looks as though they're going to have a lot of interesting things to tell us. So thank you very much for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.